All right, welcome back to the Doomer Bloomer podcast with Will S. We're talking about the hero's journey, 30 to 45 minute episodes. Today on the podcast, I have a gentleman who's originally from India, country of India, and now lives in Maryland. He is the host and CEO of Financial Chakras. Hey Ash, tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do and what you're all about.
Yeah, hey buddy, listen, you know, those of you who are here, you know, first of all, thank you so much, William, for having me here. I really appreciate you, my friend. And those of you who are watching and listening, I want to say thank you for listening. I really appreciate you guys. And I want to let you guys know that I want to send out a prayers for you and to let you know that may universe bring you all the health, wealth, happiness, and full of joyful life, you know, that you always deserve. Okay, so I just want to let you know that. And as I begin and just let you know about my briefly about my past, you know, so I came here from India in 89 with $20 to know English. I grew up in Maryland. I basically ran into financial services in 1994, and I wasn't bad, I was pathetic. I had to blackmail my dad through my mom to get my first sale, and eventually I built a pretty successful financial services career. I became a financial planner, was managing over $300 million, eventually started my own company, built that successfully, you know, I became a consultant and a speaker a long time back, you know, and have helped over 5,000 businesses, and have received a congressional honor for my work. I've taken several businesses over $1 million in revenue, and I have helped, I wrote a book called Sell Like Crazy, back in about 2010, and now my new book that's coming out is called Financial Chakras. So in a nutshell, that's a little bit about me. But, you know, as you know, it's not about me, it's about you. So go ahead, William.
Yeah, I just want to say, I really love your story. It really caught my attention. It's a real, what I would say, doomer to bloomer story. So where are you right now on your hero's journey? Are you familiar with the hero's journey?
so please elaborate. I would love to get a little bit more insight on this.
So the hero's journey in a nutshell, is about starting out, it comes from, you know, there's technically actually 12 stages. So you're starting out in an ordinary world. This is the hero exists and his present story begins, and it's oblivious of his adventures to come. There's a call to adventure, the refusal of the call, just like in The Hobbit. You meet the mentor, you're crossing the threshold. You test your allies, your enemies. You approach the innermost cave. You go through an ordeal. And generally, you come out the other side a more complete person. That's kind of what the hero's journey is about. So are you, you know, do you feel you're on the other side of your hero's journey and this is about giving back now? That's the question.
Are you? Yeah. Basically, like, so, you know, William, is that, look, I'm fortunate, right, to come here. You know, I mean, like, within 1 year after coming here, we bought a house. You know, so we had our dream right then and there. You know, I mean, obviously we worked really hard and things like that to make that work, you know, but you know, that was definitely a piece of our dream. And then things have been really good for us, right? So I mean, now me and my brother are like, so yes, we are on the other side in many ways, you could say.
Okay, you know, go ahead. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's like I said, you're it's what I call a doomer to bloomer path. So, you know, good for you. The next question I have is, what is one thing you had known when you began your career, and you know, what would you like to share with our audience? You know, what piece of wisdom, you know, could you give them?
So the one thing that I know for sure, you know, when we came here. I mean, obviously, look, there's doubts and uncertainty and scarcity and all that stuff, right? But, you know, the one thing I have known is that not only I have me, but, you know, we have each other as a family. And that has mm-hmm. been the cornerstone of everything, you know. And what I would say to the people is that if you are in a situation that you're looking to get out of, you know, I want you to know that, you know, you could think of me as an extended family. And if I can help in any way, I would be happy to help you.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So what would you feel like, you know, what would you feel is your biggest failure, and how did you learn from it?
So basically, like, you know, failures come and go, right? So like when I came here and all that, so, you know, I've always been one of these naughty kids in the house. I've been one of the troublemakers or a misfit in many ways, as Steve Jobs says it, right? So when I'm looking at it, you know, I've always been the kid that has been causing issues in the house. Now, what I would say is that has been a blessing and a gift in many ways. Now, you know, as I was successful and as I really, you know, started to grow as a human being, you know, and really started to grow myself, you know, individually in the financial career. What happened was, after 2004, I started my company. It, you know, I was going from, like, a first year we did about 800,000, the second year was 1.7 million, third year was about 4 million, fourth year was about 5 million. So as I was growing, and I was really on a really nice, smooth uphill curve. So what happened in this process is, you know, I'm feeling good, feeling fantastic. Somebody scammed me, and it really hurt me really badly. And when it hurt me, I'm an introvert person, so I go within whenever something happens. So I went within. I was really quiet. I wasn't talking to anybody. But my grandfather was my hero. So my mom had a postpartum depression. So like since I was born, they put me with my grandparents. So because my grandfather was my hero, we always talked about everything. You know, yoga, meditation, chakras, you know, family, business, you know, finance, everything, right? So that day we were talking about chakras, and as we were talking about chakras, we were trying to understand, you know, so he was just telling me all these things, and I went within, and I just started crying, and he asked me why am I crying. So I told him what had happened, and what happened was that he helped me understand where the issues were internally, emotionally issues, and particularly spiritually where I was really hurt. So we addressed those issues, we aligned my chakras, and then, you know, I felt really, really good. And my bounce back from that went from 5 million to 10 million, like literally just like it jumped, right? So when that jumped, I asked him a question. I said, has anybody proven how chakras exist in finances? And when I asked him the question, he said, never, that has never been done before, because now I'm taking what's basically a principle of the body and making it really real and practical, you know? So as we were discussing these things, and you know, what I found is when you put chakras in specific order, it becomes a rule for the universe. And I said, okay, so I love this idea. So I started taking it further. And you know, I literally went from 5 million to 10 million next year by doing certain things. So I would say that if anybody who is like listening to this, like when you're listening to this podcast, I want you to just get one thing clear in your mind, that in your heights of anything that you're doing, trouble will come. It's how you're handling that trouble that's going to determine where you're going next.
So just coming back to the idea of chakras, because I'm not the most familiar, like I come from more of a Western philosophy. I'm a little bit familiar with Eastern philosophy, Taoism. But what exactly are chakras, and how would you explain that in terms of a financial perspective?
So first, let me go into what chakras are. So chakras, you know, William, there are, so inside of our body, that is it, they start from base of your spine, mm-hmm. and then they go up. There are seven major chakras in your body. So chakras are you can say they're pinpoints in your body. This is the physical nerve centers where majority of your nerves meet throughout your body. They are the command centers that all the, like, you know, all the emotions that you feel, and they're also the hub and a home for your emotions. So based on these seven chakra, each chakra has emotional home, and the chakra itself, they were written up in around 1800 BC in the oldest text called the Vedas in India. Now, when they were written up, the chakra, the word itself in Sanskrit language and in English, it means wheel, right? So think of like a car. When it starts, there are wheels that are turning, right? So if one wheel turns, it turns the rest of the thing. So inside of your body, there are seven chakras that are constantly in effect. So what happens is, when you are not in alignment, maybe sometimes, you know, you are feeling like you're stuck. You just cannot get to the next level. Maybe you're feeling like you're blocked out, you know, because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you just can't get to the next level, or money is not getting attracted to you, right? And there are reasons behind it, which I cannot explain in 45 minutes. But what I would say is that based on each chakra, there is definitely money energy. So like money is an energy form, just like you have physical energy, there is money energy as well. Now, to prove that we are energy, so this is a little tool that I use. Now, this tool is, there's nothing inside of this tool except a small battery. And the way it works, it needs to finish up a circuit.
Right.
And so when you want to finish up a circuit, how do you do that? Right. So if you, I'm not plugged into anything myself, right? But if I touch this, it's going to light up. So it lights up when I touch, it doesn't light up when I don't touch. It lights up when I touch, it doesn't light up when I don't touch. So anytime I touch it where I have nerves, this will light up. Anytime I touch it where there's a dead space, like my earlobe, right? It's not going to light up. And the reason being is that those nerves, the energy centers, are passing out signals for us to be successful. So just like this is lighting up right now, and the more excited I get, the more excited this thing gets, right? So when you take a look at this right here, this is what they're doing. When you look at, like, you go to do the heart monitor or EKG and all these things, what they're doing is, or when they're giving you a shock, you know, when somebody is in really bad shape, they're actually jolting that energy centers in your body to revive, right? And that's what chakras is at play, you know. And hospitals, like when they measure your vitals, right? Those vitals are actually your pulse, is an electric pulse inside of your body, you know, that belongs to one of the chakras, right? So in this case, it's the heart chakra. But, you know, so that being said, it's physical, it's you know, it's practical, and it's real.
Right. I'm getting a little bit of a sense of what you're talking about. I kind of Googled it. So what do you do if your chakras are out of alignment? I feel like I'm out of alignment right now. I feel like I have been out of alignment this last little while. I've been working at a new job, trying to be successful, in a sense, and I just can't seem to get to that next level. I've had a little bit of success, but I'm just like at a plateau right now.
Yeah. So the very first thing is, and William, I'm happy to help you even after the podcast, you know. But very first thing is, you need to find out, you know, your primary chakra, right? So like, we need to spend some time on, like, you know, I can ask you some questions and stuff like that. But once you figure out like your primary chakra, the second step is going to be your primary flow. So those two things are absolutely crucial. And once we find that out, then we can begin to assess or go into it further and say, okay, this is the path that we can take. But this is how, because each chakra requires a different, so there are meditations. There are a lot of people use crystals. There are people who use yoga. There are people who use there's different remedies, right? For is what I'm trying to say, for each chakra and each there's a specific exercises, even, you know, verbal exercises where you talk about like mantras or you talk about like affirmations, right? You know, and things of that nature. There are different things we can do to really, once you figure out your primary energy and primary chakra and your energy flow and as to how it's flowing, once we figure that out, now we can drive into it and dig into it a little bit deeper.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Like I've never really dug into this as deeply as I probably should have, but I definitely can see where you're coming from for sure, 100%. So you said 2004 you started doing the financial chakras, is that correct?
Yeah, so I started doing financial chakras. I discovered financial chakras in about 2008.
Okay, so just, yeah, we're coming up just about 10 years on that then.
Yep.
And you've been in the financial services industry close to 26 years?
Yes, almost. 26 years, since 2004.
All right. What advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours?
So I would say, number one, so look, my career path has been not been normal. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll be honest, because I had to take my insurance exam, you know, 8 times because of my English barrier. I had to take my investment exams a few times to pass them. But what I would tell you is that, you know, when it comes to the career path, right? When you're following a financial career, number one, just know it's a very lucrative career, right? So in terms of career is concerned, it's probably one of the best careers you're going to get your hands on, okay? The important piece of this whole thing is that when you're pursuing this career, make sure you are looking at a long-term picture and not a short-term gain. If you are doing this out of because you want to make a lot of money and want to get rich, you know, can you? Yes, but it also comes with, so if your heart is not in it, you know, I will caution you, because it is very lucrative career. It does have a lot of go-getter type thought processes. Right. But if you are going for it and with your whole heart, it would help you tremendously. Go in with a mindset of like making sure that you really want to help other people, because you can make such a tremendous difference, you know, in this career. Like, and I've had people, like my very first person that I touched in 1994, when I didn't even know what I was doing, right? He became a client of mine. I saved him, I say, about $30,000-$40,000 a year on his insurance policies. And he's like, every time I write that check with this new contract that we got, he's like, I think about you every single time, right? My very first client that I got as a private, you know, practice in 2004, that client of mine and her husband passed away a few years ago, and she still to this day reaches out to me and say, hey, how are you doing? Even though I'm no longer a financial planner, I gave that, you know, career up about 2 years ago. But, you know, needless to say, she still calls me and say, hey, how are you doing? Keeps in touch. So it's a very rewarding career, and it's absolutely satisfying career.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Like I can feel the vibe from you. You're very passionate about what you do. You know, and I feel the same way about renewable energy. So I know I'm in the right space, you know, so that's important. And for you, what have been the best resources that helped you along the way? I understand, like you said, you mentioned that you are very close to your grandfather. So I imagine that your grandfather was a good resource for you. But what other resources helped you along your path?
Uh, So I have been a big advocate of self-help. Like, you know, we all, one of the things with my grandfather, we always discuss like philosophy and different religions and, you know, different, different things about life, right? So one of the things that I started doing at a young age, especially after I got into the financial industry, I became a self-help nut. Completely self-help nut. Like I was hooked. Like first time I went to, you know, Tony Robbins event in 1994, he came out here in Baltimore, and I just couldn't help it. I had to go. So I went, you know, and then I ended up hiring a coach from them, and it was absolutely fantastic. You know, I mean, it just changed my life completely.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Like I'm kind of in that mode right now. I've been reading a lot of books from different authors. I'm probably going to read your book as well. That's probably on my list. and who would you say are three people that have been the most influential to you in your life? Three people, if you can think of three people who have been the most influential you.
My grandfather is definitely one.
Yeah.
My dad probably has, you know, a lot of things instilled in me. Tenaciousness. There are a lot of things from my dad that I've gotten. And then a third is my family, like a lot of, family members, especially two of my aunts, you know, have really influenced me. And who has really driven me is I learned quite a bit from my daughter. My daughter is fantastic. She's, you know, she's about to become, go take MCAT exam and things like that. But from an inspiration perspective, she's my inspiration. From a learning perspective, I would say those are the three individuals. You know, I would say my grandfather, my dad, and especially two of my aunts who were very loving to me since I was a kid.
So very, very close to your family.
Very close to my family. It's other people have like, okay, influencers. Like if I was to take a look at outside influencers, I've had influence from one of the, I loved one of the heroes in India. Like his name is Amitabh Bachchan, and love his story, love where he came from. And where he went in the film industry, and now he's in there's another one, Narendra Modi, current Prime Minister of India. Like his story is very inspiring to me. You know, I think when I take a look at here, you know, I've heard Tony Robbins' story and I'm inspired by him. But not everything I can follow, you know. I get inspired with like a lot of things from the Dalai Lama, but there's a similar guru that happened. His name is Pramukh Swami, which is our religious, you know, our belief system. He is he was sixth grade education. He passed away a few years ago, but he was sixth grade education, built out, you know, so many Indian temples all over the world. And it's called BAPS. If you Google BAPS.org, you'll find all the things. But they are building one of the largest Hindu temple here in New Jersey right now. And it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. But so needless to say, like, you know, him being a sixth grade education, he recruited so many saints, you know, who give up their life or their family and all that, and really declare celibacy. And you know, who are intelligent. Some of them are engineers, some of them are doctors, some of them are like really intelligent people, you know. And so to me, he was inspiration to me as well.
Yeah, so you've had a fair amount of mentors, and your daughter's been influential to you. So that's fantastic. I'm finding that's kind of what life is about. Like I'm in my early 30s right now, and this is probably the first time in my life where I've actually really to actively started to you know, to reach out to people and try and get their knowledge and have an exchange of information and knowledge. And lately, like I've been attracting people that have been helping me, especially through the podcast, and I'm sure listeners are getting a lot of help from it too. Like just rethinking about, you know, how you live your life, and you know, how do you make your life into something, mold it into something that you're proud of, like living up to your potential, right? My next question is, if you could step into my shoes, if I were interviewing you, what would you have asked yourself that I haven't asked you yet so far? Like if you had, go ahead.
So William, I would say there's nothing that you could have, I mean, I think that some of the questions you asked were very good actually.
Thank you. I'm glad I spent a lot of time figuring out how to tap into people's inner life. So that's good. I'm glad.
Thank you.
And what could you do, like as a doomer? Because this podcast is about trying to help doomers, people who are in a negative headspace. Negative mind space, maybe in a bad situation financially, physically, relationship wise. How would you help a doomer, like if you're in that bad negative space right now, how would you help them get on the path to becoming a bloomer in life, business, relationships? What would be your best advice to a doomer right now?
I say, like, if you are in the space of, like, you know, being a doomer and you really want to get into the bloomer stage, right? Number one, you know, be one with yourself, mm-hmm. right? Know who you are. It's important, you know? And once you do that, get to work. Because, like, you know, I think that many times we, as a human beings, we sit there and try to analyze, right? Right. Life is one of the part of life is that you have to be able to analyze certain situations and really move forward with the best way you can. And, you know, if you wait for the ship to come, you know, it's never going to arrive. So you just have to know that you are already in a really good ship. You just have to run, right? So if you're not working hard, right, that's going to be your number one downfall of not being able to learn. Because if you're not, like, for instance, after coming here, you know, like my first job, you know, I got it was a pizza place, right? And I was like basically cleaning up pans and stuff like that. And then I couldn't speak English. So about a week or two later, I learned about this new job at the gas station where they were paying more. So I started there and I would like literally work from after school, like 3 o'clock to 12 o'clock at night, Monday through Thursday. And then on Fridays, I would work from 3 o'clock to Saturday morning. And then I would go back Saturday afternoon around 12. And then I would start working until the next morning and on Sunday. And that was pretty much my routine schedule, right? If not, then I would work until 12 at night on Saturday, then go back entire Sunday, something like that, right? So, but doing that, right, between me and my dad and my mom and all three of us working, you know, whatever jobs we could get our hands on, within 1 year, we bought a house. So my thing is what I'm trying to tell you is that if you work hard, you can come through situations. You know, I'm not saying that it will make it easy, you know, but it will definitely show you the road. You know, so you'll get to make assessments. Okay, this is good, that's not good, you know, and then you can keep going forward. But that's one way. But make sure you are completely in alignment with who you are. It's important.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think that's something that you know, everyone needs to figure out for themselves. So the other question I had is, you know, let's say you get through that doomer stage and you're on the other side of that, you know, and even in the doomer stage, I would say you can even start there. but what is one of the, like, how can you be of service and to your community and the world? Like, start locally, and then, you know, think globally. You know, what would be your best advice for to be have a life of service?
Being in the doomer stage or bloomer stage?
Let's say both. Because it's hard to help other people if you don't help yourself first, right? That's what I've been finding.
Yeah.
Is I want to help other people, but I'm realizing that I need to get to a place, to a level in my own life where I'm out of the survival zone into the secure zone.
Yep.
And then into the thriving zone. Mm-hmm. And until I can get my own, like, life to the place where I want to be, it's been a lot harder for me to help other people than I would like. If that makes any sense.
No, that's absolutely makes sense, because many people say, like, look at life, it's a glass half full, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the fact of the matter is, the glass is half empty. And if you are trying to help other people, you have to be overfilling, otherwise you cannot do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's just not gonna work, because then you're coming from a place of not being authentic. Mm. Like, I have a person that I was talking to, and they are in the they're working full-time job, and they became a financial coach, right? And I said, okay, that's great. And then I dug deeper into their life, and they have $40,000 in debt. I mean, you just can't help anybody else if you're in debt. You know, it's like you're trying to, you know, it's this not fake it till you make it kind of thing. I'm not saying that don't help other people or don't work, you know, but with some small strategic moves, we were able to, now we're going to pay off their debt in like 6 to 8 months, you know, and because we're going to be able to pay off the debt, they're in a better situation, they're in a better spot, and now they're becoming a better coach. Make sense? So, like, you really have to be overfilling in order for you to serve other people. Otherwise, you're always going to be in the same, like, it's like a loophole, you know, like a same loop every single day, all day.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you gotta focus on what's right in front of you sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, I fall sometimes into the trap of, you know, where I want to be versus where I am. You know what I mean? You know, mm-hmm. I look at my life from the perspective of where I was, you know, 5 years ago versus 10 years ago, and where I want to be in 5 years and 10 years from now. And they're fairly lofty ambitions. They're fairly lofty goals. But it's just like you said earlier, it's like, I have to get to work. I have to do that work. It's called the grinder philosophy, the grinder mindset. It's, you know, you break it down into the small component parts, and you bite off those little pieces every day, and you work on it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like right now, like I transitioned from, you know, working for somebody else to working for myself by, you know, working on, like, selling solar from home. I work on this podcast, you know, but I don't expect to get money out of this podcast. That's not the goal of the podcast. The podcast is to provide value to people, right? To meet interesting people, and get the message out there, right? That's what this podcast is about. So yeah, I appreciate your time. So where's the best place for listeners to connect with you online?
So they can go to two different places. If there's Google my name, Ash Shukla. So it's, yep, A-S-H, and last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. And you should be able to find me. But if you go to ashshukla.com, you'll see my website, my personal website. If you want to see my business side of me, go to financialchakras.com, financialchakras.com, chakras.com. And if you look at financialchakras.com, you'll get everything you need to know about business and how I can help you, maybe, you know, you're stuck, you know, you're blocked off, or you are, you know, you don't know like how to unblock yourself and things of the nature financially or even business-wise, I'm happy to help.
Excellent. And I'll put all of those links in the description of the podcast. And when this gets onto YouTube as well, all that information will be there. Bit of a bio. Yeah, so that's great. Is there anything you'd like to end the episode with, Ash? Any final closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm so thankful, William, that you're doing this podcast. I really appreciate you, my friend. As I said, you know, I think that what you're doing for the world is absolutely fantastic. And those of you who are listening, I want to tell you that, you know, my prayer is real. I pray to the universe to give you the health, wealth, and happiness that you deserve. And I want to let you know that if you ever need anything, please feel free to reach out to me. And I'll be more than happy to figure out a way to help you, whether it's financially or in business.
Thank you. That's fantastic. As always, the Doomer Bloober podcast is on all current podcast platforms, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Apple. We're on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter at Doomer Podcast. And we have a Facebook page, Doomer Bloomers. Feel free to reach out. Again, appreciate all the listeners and have yourself a great and prosperous day. Thank you.
Thank you.